He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the hump day, a version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And it looks like after a big up day yesterday to start the holiday shortened week, the Dow was up 641 yesterday, down 205 right now, down 0.7% so far. It was down a lot further than that at the open. So I think Jerome Powell, who's now talking before Congress, or at least putting out his notes out there, has helped soothe the market somewhat this morning. NASDAQ's down 14. Let's see. That's down 10, or that's down about 0.1%. 11,059 on the NASDAQ. The S&P is down 17 points, 37.48. The Russell 2K down 19 points. It's faring the worst. The small cap's down 1.1% so far. Here's the big casualty today. It's crude oil, which is good news and also bad news. The good news is you're going to pay less at the gas pump here fairly soon. Maybe we'll get down closer to $4 per gallon. Oil is down $6.84 today. That's a 6.3% drop. It's down 102. It's down to 102 per barrel. The bad news is, obviously, oil traders think there's a recession. We're either in one or there's one very close at hand, and that's really impacting these oil prices recently. Gold is up $8.40. Silver, $21.53. It's flat today. The 10-year is down 15 basis points. Down 15 basis points. That's quite a bit. I think that comes from Powell's comments that he's determined to fight inflation. We're at 3.15 on the 10-year, and Bitcoin is at 20,701, down $840 so far today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, one of the questions we've been throwing out there and commenting on recently, and it was the headline of the newsletter over the weekend, there will be a bottom in the market at some point in time, just like there was in March of 2020 during the COVID year. And you see a big rally like yesterday, with the Dow up 640, the NASDAQ up 270. And we explored that question yesterday. Has a bottom been put in? And then you see the sell-off today. And I think that lends credence to our answer yesterday. You know what? I'm not going with guns blazing here into the market. I don't think a bottom has been put in. What do you think?
Well, and you said it would be, if we're going to, it's not going to be a V recovery, it's going to be a sideways, probably a sideways pattern for a period of time. And volumes weren't huge yesterday. I think I was looking at, some of the big names. For example, Apple, I think, was 30% off their average volume yesterday. So, in those summer months, it's such a, it's really kind of tricky to get any real direction in the market, just because, historically it's a low volume time. You got, traders running off to the Hamptons, right? During the week. And so, it's really hard to get that, kind of bottoming signal where you think it's actually going to hold. So it's, we've seen this a few times already, and we've actually gone lower, pretty much every time. So we'll see how the pattern works this go around.
Yeah. And I mean, the Dow futures were down 500 at one point here this morning after yesterday's 600 point gain. So it's wobbly at best. Not a lot of conviction. Last time I looked this morning, the only thing working were inverse ETFs. And yesterday, a lot of the leadership in the market came from the energy and the oil and gas stocks, but they're really shaky right now. Our biggest gainer today is our big hedge that we have against the inverse fund that we have on the oil and gas stocks. And that obviously is not a supply-demand issue that we're dealing with here. I think it's they're pricing in, they're afraid of a recession. And now, you know, I would say the biggest topic coming up daily on the Seeking Alpha website is, are we in a recession? Are we about to enter into a recession? Or when will the recession begin? We heard from Elon Musk yesterday. He thinks sooner rather than later. Goldman Sachs is saying there's a 30% chance of one, you know, in the next 12 months. And I heard someone else saying that, you know, we're already in one. I'm kind of in the already in one boat right now. And I think that's being backed up by the move in oil today, down $6 per barrel. And there's a lot of news coming from the energy sector today. And obviously, I mean, you look at a day like yesterday, and, you know, we remain pretty much on the defensive side of the ledger. We do not have all of our chips on the table. We don't have our high-powered offense on the field right now. You know, we're kind of, we've got a lot of stocks. We've got a lot of inverse funds. We have a lot of cash, but mostly on defense right now. And you watch a day like yesterday and you think, eh, you know what, we missed out today. But you know what? Then you look at a day like today and you say, well, you know what? It's just a trade-off. You're not going to be right every day, as yesterday's rally basically fizzling out here. And you got a lot of testimony coming today from the Fed people. And that's going to ripple throughout the market throughout the day. Listen to all the guys. You've got the Fed's Barkin speech at 9 a.m. Okay, he's talking right now. And you've got, so is Jerome Powell. He started at 9:30. And then you're going to have a big auction, a two-year auction at 11:30. And then Barkin speaking again at 12. A lot of Barkin today. And then Evans speaking at 12:55. If that's not enough, Harker speaks at 1:30. And then Barkin again at 1:30. So plenty of Fed speak today, and that definitely is going to impact the market. So far, the market likes what it's heard from Jerome Powell, because he has calmed the market so far here this morning. So, yeah, the rally fizzles. Yesterday it was a pretty good day. The chip stocks had a good day. NVIDIA was up 6%, but now that I look at the chip stocks today, let's just look at NVIDIA today. NVIDIA is kind of building a bottom. I can say that about it. But NVIDIA, well, it's down 1% today, and AMD is down. AMD's up today. Hey, hallelujah. It's up 1.1%, and hopefully a bottom has been put in into AMD. So they kind of led the way yesterday. I looked at a lot of charts this morning before the open. I didn't see much I liked, you know, all the stocks that are in the news, making news. I looked at their charts, see if there were any catalysts out there. Didn't really see anything.
It's a lot of mixed signals. I mean, look at NVIDIA. I mean, that a 30 forward PE ratio. I even saw it under 30 a day or two ago, but. You know, so historically, valuation-wise, good valuation for NVIDIA, but then you look at the technical side of the ledger, and it's just, you're
pretty.
Like, so it's...
And the indexes, you know, the indexes that they're in aren't very pretty either. I think the world markets were kind of rocked overnight. UK inflation hits its highest level since 1982, so they're... The UK is now where we are. They were there with us in 1982, and here they are with us again in 2022. So, you know, when we have inflation, when we have rising interest rates, you can pretty much look around the world and see that the world economies do pretty much trade in sync these days with one another. Okay, the Richmond Fed's Barkin says risk of recession is looming. Okay, so he's on the side that says I think it's sooner rather than later. He also goes on to say, but remember, our recessions aren't that long or that deep. Okay,
that
thanks.
That is true. Yeah.
Yes, that is true. I mean, we've had some long. There was some long ones in the 70s. So anyways, we'll come back. There's a lot of news on recession today and in the oil patch. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Look at that. The market just went positive. So it must like what Jerome Powell is saying. I'm not watching. His talk is not on TV right now, but I'm sure they're listening on Wall Street. The Dow is now up 16 points. The S&P is now up 8 points. So it has gone just slightly positive here.
It's like Fed interrogation day, right?
Yes, and then we're going to get a lot out of them, and they're definitely going to try to talk up the market. They watch the market. They know how bad last week was in the market. It was the headlines over the weekend, and yesterday, let's see, where was I? I was somewhere. I ran into somebody that was here from Sarasota. I said, oh, I do a radio show down there, Sarasota, every day. On the stock market, he said, oh, man, it was a horrible week last week. That was his first comments. You know, everybody watches the markets. And so I think the Fed probably is trying to jawbone the markets up. Okay, this is an interesting comment here made today by the CEO or somebody, or the market analyst of Société Générale. Isn't that a big French firm? Okay. They say a recession is 74% priced into stocks, and there's a remote chance economic conditions could push the S&P more than 1,000 points lower. And his thesis is kind of interesting, okay? He starts off by saying fair value of the S&P 500 based on earnings is what's that's the formula I use. He has 3,850 for this year. I think I'm exactly at the same number. So my formula must be a pretty decent one. But he said a couple more dominoes need to fall before the market sees a true bottom. Okay, what are those dominoes? I want to know. He says the dominoes will be credit and housing markets pricing in higher recession fears. So in other words, he's saying the housing market has not yet priced in higher recession fears. And, you know, I mean, until we get the Case-Shiller report on how much housing prices have dropped from the top, we do know that housing, sales are slowing considerably. And the credit markets, he's basically saying with the 10-year at 3.15, we need to see higher, credit. We need to see higher interest rates before the market has truly priced in. Now, in order for it to go down another, he says when 100% of the recession is, he's using an average recession, all right, as in his model. He says if we start to price in 100% possibility of an average recession, he says that puts the S&P 500 at 3,200, which where are we at right now on the S&P 500? We're at 3,800, so that's 600 points to the downside. And then to get down another 1,000 points, this is an interesting comment. He says sometimes the market trades on the nominal growth rate. Okay, so in other words, the market, the S&P 500 earnings are expected to grow by 5% this year versus last year. But if you factor in inflation of 8%, the nominal is minus 3%, Barry, of growth, stock market earnings growth, when you factor in inflation. And then he says that really punishes the multiple, and that would take the market down into the $2,500 range, which would be a 1970-style recession, worse than just a normal recession, and the market going to nominal, a nominal number instead of the actual number. I could see that happening. He still says it's a remote possibility, however. But that's something to think about. Crude oil resumes its slide amid growth worries. Energy stocks are back under pressure. Well, they had that big sell-off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week. They had a relief rally yesterday, but, you know, it wasn't all that convincing as I watched it. And now they're selling off again today as oil is down $7 per barrel. So if you're looking at the various asset classes, bonds, the real estate market, the stock market, and the commodities market, you noted yesterday, Barry, that DBC, the commodity ETF, was under pressure. And that's
yeah, it didn't participate. It was just interesting because on a day where oil and primarily the oil companies rose pretty significantly, they were the leaders. I mean, I think all S&P sectors were up yesterday, and energy being the leader. But you know, I think DBC may have been negative or slightly up. I mean, it was just I'm pretty sure it was negative actually, but it seemed odd, right?
Yes.
In light of in DBC, if you look up what makes it up, the underlying commodities, energy is a big part of DBC. So that's just telling you that, you know, whether it's lumber, wheat. I didn't look at all the
copper is getting clobbered here recently, and so is iron ore and steel because it's pricing in a recession. These commodities,
right.
So that's more evidence that, you know, the market is forward-looking. That's the way it works. And it's looking out in the future, and it does not see robust demand for copper. The market doesn't see robust demand for steel. You know, several weeks ago, we unloaded Nucor, which was our steel holding. We unloaded Freeport-McMoRan, which was kind of our mining slash copper and other types of commodities holdings, and those stocks have suffered ever since. They do not look good at all, and you can look across the board at BHP Billiton or Vail, even the lithium stocks. The commodities market has peaked, and it was a red hot run. You saw the commodities basically the only game in town there for a while. Oil and commodities, other non-oil commodities, that was the only game in town. Now, all of a sudden, that whole dynamic has changed, and we're seeing a recession fears looming much larger, being factored in much more than just the tight markets in commodities.
What happened to the infrastructure bill? I know it passed. Have we started building anything?
I'm still waiting for a water canal to California. Exxon says energy markets to remain tight for years. And CEO Darren Woods is also saying, will the world listen this time? I already know the answer to that. No, they will not listen. And, it's evident, it's obvious everywhere I look. I mean, they might do some short-term things. You know, when Exxon kind of extended an olive leaf to the current administration to see what they could do to Exxon was willing to ramp up production. And the current administration responded with a release of the strategic oil reserves and bashing the oil companies for price gouging. So I don't see much hope going forward if that's the attitude. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The markets are now up, decidedly up. Dow's up 90, and the NASDAQ is up just over 100 points. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to go through a lot of charts here today. We're looking for opportunities on both the upside, the long side of the market, and or the downside of the market. Depends on the sector. It depends on, you know, the our rankings. It depends on charts, etc. So I'm looking forward to a big, long day here today of going through a lot of charts. Okay, now to say that there is not a war on fossil fuels, there's a war on fossil fuels. There's no question about it. Shortly following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the CEOs of Pioneer, PXD, and Devon indicated they were willing to work with Washington in a coordinated effort to increase U.S. oil and gas supply. Washington responded with a historic release of strategic oil reserves, congressional price gouging hearings, and calls for a windfall tax and discussion of export restrictions. That didn't exactly, you know, motivate or make the oil industry feel good about the offer that they made to try to do what they could do to make up for the lost Russian oil. Tuesday, Chevron CEO Mike Wirth wrote a letter to President Biden highlighting the company's 50% increase in capital investments during 2022, 15% Permian oil production growth, and rising refinery runs. He said we need an honest dialogue on how to best balance energy, economic, and environmental objectives. We can only meet these challenges by working together. And I see today that Biden's response is he's demanding that they lower oil and gas prices. Exxon also released a statement noting that the company invested double what it earned over the past 5 years. In the U.S., Exxon provided short-term solutions to the current refining supply crisis specifically. A waiver of the Jones Act provisions and some fuel specification changes. Both Chevron and Exxon noted that clarity and consistency of policy are required over the long term if the oil and gas industry has any chance of helping balance global markets. I would say, just in talking to people, this is the biggest thorn in their side, is paying the price at the gas pump. I talked to a lady yesterday that commutes to work. Her husband has a shorter commute, so he takes the family's more economical car, right? or the you know, the gas guzzler, I mean, and she takes the more economical car. And she said they have a big truck, and it's over $120 to fill that gas. And I mean, she was not happy telling me this story. And, of course, we've got Secretary of Energy Granholm, who used to be the governor and attorney general of Michigan, as our energy secretary. So this is a very controversial subject that's, it looks to me like high gas prices are going to be with us for quite some time. And now Exxon's moving to try to get more liquid natural gas to Europe. Most of this is happening at this, you know, this port. Let's see, where is it? It's the Golden Pass expansion. This is at the Sabine Pass in Texas. You ever been there, Barry?
I have not been to that.
Okay.
I've been to a lot of, you know, coastal areas on the Gulf Coast growing up in the panhandle of Florida, but that's one spot I have not been to. I had a buddy who used to actually do some consulting work at the big refinery there. I think it's a big Chevron refinery. At one point in time, I think it's probably still is one of the most dangerous refineries, at least in America or in the world at one
point.
So that's why I was there helping to fix some safety issues, but that's a whole different story.
So this is down in the Houston Corpus Christi area, yeah. It sounds like, right? The Sabine Pass. This is where these refineries are that convert natural gas to liquid natural gas. And, of course, you had that big fire at the, speaking of safety issues, I don't know what caused the fire. Maybe Russia caused the fire. Who knows? It shut down 20% of our refining capacity of liquid natural gas. So now you've got Exxon wanting to speed up. They have a big expansion project down there called the Golden Pass. It's a $10 billion project. It's on schedule to start up in 2024. Man, that's still way out there. But they're trying to win approval for startup earlier than planned. We'll see, you know, if there's any cooperation on that. But, you know, if you limit exports, okay, if you tell Cheniere Energy that you can't export the liquid natural, it's got to stay here in the U.S., that's going to crimp them, and it's not going to help Europe. So we'll see how this all plays out. Okay, we talked several months ago. I was sitting here one day, and I saw several stocks on my watch list just plunging. What in the world is going on? It was Columbia, not Columbia, South Carolina, but Columbia, South America, which has a lot of minerals and oil. And I saw those stocks down there just plummeting. Eco Petrol is EC, and there's Gran Tierra Energy. Now, what made them plunge? And I saw it was the polls came out showing this is a gorilla, okay, a communist gorilla that's running for president. I shouldn't be laughing. But anyways, he won yesterday. The leftist wins Columbia presidential election. And he's been saying in his campaign speeches that he's going to shut down all production of natural resources, oil, copper, lithium, whatever it is. And that's like 80% of their economy.
Yeah, and how does that? I mean, I just don't see how that works mathematically. And I mean, from an economic standpoint, I mean, if you're 80% of your economy is built on those things. You have to transition. You can't just end it and then find something else to fix that 80%.
No,
and it's a BP refinery. I don't want to get Chevron in the mix.
Yeah, BP. I'm sure refinery. Chevron's got safety issues too, though. Be careful where you sit down to eat lunch. But anyways, I talked to another guy. He just came here from Colombia. He's a U.S. guy, but he's in the FBI. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that. He went down there. He was with the DEA, drug enforcement. And he actually, and I talked to his daughter. She said that they liked Columbia a lot, a beautiful city. Now they lived in Columbia, South Carolina, two Columbias
Columbia
in 2 years.
Columbia, yeah.
And I asked her about, the politics and this big election. She said, I don't think the leftist guy will win. Well, he did. And ironically, his name is Gustavo Petro, which Petro, doesn't that mean gas?
Gas, yeah.
Well, he's going to shut it down, okay? So we'll see. Precious metal miners, Newmont, Agnico, all selling off. Eco Petrol selling off. All the banks selling off down there. Former gorilla Petro has pledged to stop awarding new oil exploration contracts. Fire Eco Petrol's management. Overhaul the country's pension system, and increase taxes on the rich and large landowners. And it sounds to me very much like Hugo Chavez's platform.
It sounds like he just took over the company.
He did. Yeah, he's going to put his own people in charge, which is exactly what they did in Venezuela, which has 20% of the oil in the world. And how did that pan out? I mean, all of the capital, all of the U.S. companies... Anybody with expertise got the heck out of Dodge?
Yeah, they kicked Exxon off of their platforms and the oil platforms in the ocean.
So I guess they're going to transform their economy down there in Colombia. Okay, one more here. BASF, which is a very large chemical company out of Germany, they say that they foresee a sharp second half downturn. Okay, that begins in 9 days. BASF likely will face a considerable downturn in this year's second half, early in the second half, as inflation begins to weigh on consumer demand and competitors may rebuild crippled supply chains, said CEO Martin Brudermiller. Now, this is the first shot across the bow. That's why I picked this story. As we enter into earnings season, this is the first major warning coming from a German chemical company. There's got to be some stocks popping today. I'm going to look right now, see what I can find. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, I'm just going to paint a little scenario here. You know, what was the first group of stocks to go? We're talking February of last year, so it's been almost 18 months since the high flyers started to go, and man, did they go down. We're talking Teladoc, we're talking Shopify, stocks of that ilk. We're talking, you know, ARK-type stocks. So if they were the first to get hit, it's been my experience over the years that they would be the first to bottom, too, and lead the market back. So I've been keeping a close eye on a lot of those high flyers. And I just want you to look at a couple of charts here with me, Barry. Pull up Shop, S-H-O-P, Shopify, which is a competitor to Amazon. That stock has actually kind of been building a bottom now for 7 weeks.
Yeah, pretty basically sideways.
Okay, so that's the kind of chart I'm talking about. That, you know, some of the bigger, the Facebooks of the world, the Googles, the Amazons and whatnot, need to build. But we could get into a scenario where these stocks will lead the market. The first buy signals could come in some of these high-flying stocks. And if I was a trader, a short-term trader, and more, you know, gambling type, not quite that bad, but it seems like a pretty firm bottom has been built into a stock like Shopify, which is up $12 per share today on pretty good volume. It's up 3.74%. And you got to understand, Shopify has gone from 1,762 down to 300. Okay,
it's down 75% just year to date.
Wow.
That doesn't include the 1762. I think it started the year at around 1360. So
So it's probably down 80 or so. So there, that's equivalent to what I witnessed in the year 2000. With the dot-coms, and I predicted that was coming. And, of course, these are the stocks that have led the charge down the hill, down the mountain. And now they're finally reaching the valley, and they're starting to level off on the plateaus and may start climbing at some point. In fact, you know, Shopify is mildly pointing up right now. So that one, you know, I have about 25, I guess, in my little kind of bottom indicator file. That's one of them, and I think that's pretty constructive, a chart there. Okay, the other one, that Teladoc, it looks almost the same.
Very similar, right? down 78%. Let's see, year to date, it's down 64%. But yeah, the chart looks very, 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 very similar.
It went from 308 to 27. 308 to 27, and now it's back to 33. And these are still, okay, I mean, these are still pretty fast-growing companies. Teladoc's most recent quarter, they had 25% growth in sales and 83% growth in earnings. And Kathy Woods has stayed with them, God bless her, all the way down. But they still have her support, so that's another one. Okay, then I just think, you know, the electric cars, Tesla's having a very good day. It's really the kind of the only game in town right now. Tesla looks to me like it's building a really solid 6 weeks now of sideways. But then I look at some of Tesla's competitors, and I've always thought that, you know, I think the one that's going to come along first could be Lucid Motors, LCID. And Lucid has also built a really nice bottom, and it's up about 30 or 40% off of its bottom, putting in a nice sideways trend. So these are more on the speculative side of the market. They had good days yesterday. And more than most stocks out there, these are the group of stocks that are putting in the best bottoms here right now.
Well, and PayPal is an interesting one, because one that, you know, that has a larger market cap and also actually has positive, you know, forward earnings and a P/E ratio. I mean, you know, very similar chart to, you know, all the names you've named, Shopify and Teladoc, but, you know, they actually have earnings. And so, you know, that one's an interesting one. It's been in, you know, basically a sideways pattern since
for a long time,
since April. Yeah.
So yeah, and I mean,
a
we
PE
have
of 18. I mean,
exactly. That the PE has dropped like a rock. So we have an emerging growth portfolio, and you know, I may look to step back into some of these. That's the most aggressive one. It's actually up for the year, which is pretty good, considering that the S&P's down about 20%. That portfolio. And so, you know, I'm looking at some of these. That's where they would go first. And then if they continue to improve and started to break out to the upside, then I would consider them for the ultra growth portfolio, which is the next step up. And one other area that we did well with back during the COVID, I think China's way ahead of us on the electric car. They have more companies producing. They got to be rolling a lot more electric cars off the line than we are. And XPeng, which is XPEV. Now, this is what Shopify hopefully will look like in a couple weeks. See that breakout today on XPeng? It built a long bottom at 18 for almost 2 or 3 months. And now it's starting to break out to the upside. Okay, there's a buy signal on a Chinese EV stock, and I'll bet anything NIO looks just like it, NIO. So you may see some of these start to show up in the emerging growth portfolio. These are the most encouraging-looking stocks out there right now, but they are out there on the frontier and definitely on the more aggressive side. So that's a green shoot. Let's call that some green shoot starting to show up in the market. All right, well, you know what? I can't wait to get busy here today. Maybe we'll pick up a few here today. I don't know. We'll see. There's opportunities on both sides of the market right now, and I'll be deep in the water all day long reporting what I find here tomorrow and to my subscribers throughout the day. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get the newsletter, to try the live trading service, or if you want us to look at your portfolio, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.